Welcome to Just a Minute. Sue Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, it's just such a joy to welcome you back to Just a Minute. Now time to introduce you to the four marvellous and extremely talented people playing Just a Minute this week. They are Paul Merton, Desiree Birch, Laura Smith and Julian Clary. Please whoop and cheer for all four. I'm going to be asking them to speak on a given subject for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. Plus, there's the swimwear round. It's a new edition. We'll see how that goes. Paul, we're going to start with you. Your subject. Oh, I like this. It was like that when I got here. It was like that when I got here. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating, deviating? Starting now.
As Boris Johnson said to the Inquiry after he walked into a room at number 10 Downing Street and found a party was going on, it was like that when I got there. And I imagined when I was first looking into the tomb of Tutankhamun with myself and Nicholas Parsons in 1922, investigating the grave of the boy king, he was covered in cobwebs, there was dust everywhere, spiders running around, and the hieroglyphics above his head, translated in English, simply said, it was like that when I got here. Oh, that poor youth who was so brilliantly young and then one day was struck down by something that will happen to us all. I remember as I walked through the valley of death.
Julian.
Is it repetition of remember?
Remember. Ooh.
Ooh, it could be a bluff.
It'd be a very good one.
I don't have it, but then I haven't mastered high-speed shorthand yet.
Oh, I just thought I'd take a chance.
Ah, yes.
It was a bluff!
Sounded likely.
Listen, there's no valid challenge as I see it. But we're going to let Paul carry with 18 seconds remaining on It Was Like That when I got here, starting now.
As I walked through...
Laura.
Repetition of through?
And walked.
Walked. And walked, yeah. Well done. Correct challenge.
We all have our preference.
Well, I like the cut of that jib. You've taken that subject with 16 seconds on the clock. I'll remind you what's on the card. It was like that when I got here, and your time starts now.
It was like that when I got here is definitely a phrase I've used to get a few little scrapes, and now I'm seeing my children do the very same thing, whether it's a Lego tower or a Scaletrix or a dropped cake. I've also seen students that I taught once upon a time say the exact same thing.
Speaking as the whistle went means you get that point. Well done. Now we move on to Desiree. Hello.
Hi.
Snake oil.
Of course.
Slippery. Slippery subject. What can you tell us about snake oil in 60 seconds, starting now?
The following may contain spoilers for PS5 enthusiasts. Snake oil is an essential component of your kit when you are playing the second of the Red Dead Redemption series. Much like stamina and health, it must be replenished. You can gather the required ingredients by foraging and building it at your campfire, or...
I've got no idea what you're talking about.
So on topic, though.
It's so
for like four 17-year-olds listening to this right now, and me.
And me. I was thinking, I'm so close to finding out how you win this game. I enjoyed that moment, but it's an incorrect challenge. You've got 35 seconds. It's still with you, Desiree, and your time starts now.
Or stealing the snake oil off of corpses. Snake oil apparently was created by Chinese railroad workers who used the liniment to rub into sore muscles after a long day of hitting steel and iron. However, since it is comprised predominantly of Indian tobacco and ginseng, apparently two extremely good stimulants, it would probably make anything feel better because you're high as a kite by the end of the day. Snake oil is absolutely vital if you will defeat Pinkertons or O'Driscolls or Skinners in RDR2. Basically, I got to middle age and I turn into a 16-year-old boy, and I love my boyfriend's PS5 these days because it's better than outside.
Yeah. We've all learnt something there. I learned a lot. I really enjoyed it. You were speaking as the whistle went. Of course, you get the point. And we move on to you, Laura. Now, your subject is shopping centres. What can you tell us all about shopping centres in a minute without hesitating, deviating or repeating? And your time starts now.
Shopping centres is an area of expertise for me because I'm a resident of East London, and what happened in 2012 was there was a little thing called the Olympics, and to make the whole area sustainable and not become a ghost town, they built an absolute cathedral to consumerism, and I adore it. I get to play out all my sort of aspiring middle class fantasies as I flip between two of the big shops. I won't say them by name because we're on the BBC, but
Julian has exposed one of the great pitfalls of the game. So, Julian.
Repetition of B.
No, I was saying BB. It's like, no, fine.
It's really annoying.
It's so annoying.
I know, but everyone does it, and now you've done it, you won't do it again.
I probably will.
No. You were speaking for 31 seconds. That means that Julian's taken on the subject with 29 remaining. And to remind you, the subject is shopping centres, and it starts now.
I can't share your enthusiasm for shopping centres. It's the Muzak, I think, sends me into an altered state, and I waft around in a zombified form, which I wouldn't encourage anyone to stop me and offer me a purchase, because I may bite when I'm in that kind of mood. The latrines are no better either. Obviously, at my age, you need to make yourself comfortable at some point, and I carry my bags in there, if you know what I mean.
Speaking as the whistle went, you got the points, and you also get the next subject, which I think you'll know a lot about. It's a 5 o'clock shadow. But there's less groomed moments in the day, speaking entirely personally. A 5 o'clock shadow. You've got a minute to tell us all about that. Julian, starting now.
Well, I don't want to state the obvious, but a 5 o'clock shadow is the growth from the beard coming through as the day progresses. Not an issue for me. I find it quite attractive on manly people. But if you are a drag queen, then you have to purchase from one of the shopping centres that you frequent some really thick foundation to cover up your shame. You don't want 5 o'clock shadow showing, unless, of course, you're one of those that just don't care, that flaunts their androgyny, which is popular in some of the clubs that I've been to. But a 5 o'clock shadow... Oh, please.
Laura.
I felt like clack was a hesitation.
5 o'clock, clock.
5 o'clock.
It could have been worse.
Really could.
You've just got it over there, haven't you? Yeah.
Yes, deviation from clock. 23 seconds remaining. Laura, you've got the subject. To remind you, it's a 5 o'clock shadow. Tell us everything you know about that, starting now.
A 5 o'clock shadow might be considered a problem for men, but as a woman in her 40s, I am aware of the growth in my chin, and I can often sit there looking really pensive and thoughtful, but I'm not really. I'm just trying to...
Desiree.
Repetition of really?
Yes, there was.
Oh, my leg.
So, correct challenge with 9 seconds remaining.
Oh,
she's stolen it. Yeah. She's trying to whip up a false sense of enmity between two friends. 9 seconds remaining. Your time starts now.
A 5 o'clock shadow is what a Greek man who shaved before breakfast will be sporting to brunch. It is an inevitable part of...
Just got there within a whisker of that buzzer going off, which means you're speaking as the whistle went and you get that point. That's the end of that round. Time to take a look at the scores. We have Paul in third place, Julian in second place, and Laura and Desiree tied in first place, but it's all too tight to mention. And onwards we go to the second round. And we're back with you, Paul. Pomp and circumstance. What can you tell us about pomp and circumstance in 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating, starting now?
Like a lot of well-known phrases in the English language, it originally comes from Shakespeare. I believe there's a quote in Othello that says something along the lines of pomp and circumstance. Edward Elgar wrote a series of marches called Pomp and Circumstance. There was number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And these were particularly successful and popular with the classical listeners of the day. Pomp and circumstance is a phrase that we often use in terms of royal coronations. We think when King Charles was coronated, it was pomp and circumstance all the way. A rather gaudy, lavish display of luxury and richness. And I suppose pomp and circumstance does have its place in today's society. When I look back towards my school year days, I think to myself, do you know what? That was a word I just made up and nobody picked me up on it. And it's interesting that I am now drawing attention to the mistakes I made, which is not very pomp and circumstance. Too late! Too late!
Julian, your challenge.
Well, it was a late response to a word he made up, but then he was deviating. He was talking about how it had gone wrong.
Well, you buzzed me as I was saying the words pomp and circumstance.
Oh, shut up.
That's a real shame, because I think you'd have got away with that, Paul, and you only had five seconds remaining.
Oh. How many?
Five.
5 seconds, as many marches as Elgar wrote.
To be honest, you could have kept going with that. I'd have been none the wiser.
Yes.
Listen, I'll give that as a correct challenge, absolutely, but I was enjoying Paul immensely there. Julian, you get the subject with 5 seconds remaining on pomp and circumstance, starting now.
I think of Prince...
What do you mean, shut up? That's not a challenge.
Sorry to snap, it's been a long day.
Has it?
I think, to be honest, that was a correct challenge. He's right, so there must be decorum at all times. A point to Paul for just reminding us civility at all times.
Yeah, exactly.
You can shut up as well.
Right. How many points has Julian got? None, it would appear. You've got 3 seconds to carry on the challenge, Julian, starting now.
King Charles and Queen Camilla are the epitome of pomp.
Right. Speaking as the whistle went, Julian gets the point, and Desiree, you're with the next topic, which is tandem bikes. What can you tell us about tandem bikes in 60 seconds, starting now?
Tandem bikes are a phenomenal investment for jackasses with too much money and arrogance and not a good idea of how to have a great time with someone they like. Ranging from $3,000 to $5,000 US...
Paul.
2,000s.
And 5,000. Ah, yes!
2,000 and 5,000, yes. Correct challenge, Paul. 44 seconds remaining on tandem bikes. And that starts now.
As I attempted to cycle around the world on a tandem bike, I made the mistake of doing it with Ann Widdecombe. As we crossed the Pacific Ocean on the inflatable tyres that we'd bought specially for the occasion, I found myself being increasingly annoyed by her very presence. At that point, I noticed Julian Clary going by in a luxury yacht, and I told him to shut up. And I said, how do you feel about that? Well, who's bust then?
Laura, that was your buzzer.
Deviation, you're just throwing shade this way.
There was some shades. But we have to allow, you know, I think when you've got historic beef like these two.
Yeah.
I say historic, it's been going on 3 minutes. I think it's a correct challenge under the rules, so I'm going to give you the point, but Paul will keep the subject.
Okay.
23 seconds remaining. Starting now.
The tandem bike is something that's very important for a marriage. If you and your partner decide to go out riding on a tandem bike, you must decide which person is going to be looking at...
Desiree.
Repetition of decide.
Which nobody else seems to remember.
Not least the person who's supposed to be the arbiter of all of this. Julian.
Well, it was repetition of person.
It was a repetition of person. Do you want to amend your challenge?
You can't. Would that be a repetition, though?
It was a repetition, but I don't think it was on decide. One day we'll bring... Do you know, have you heard of something called AI? It's all the rage outside of this room. Right, it's an incorrect challenge. 13 seconds remaining. Paul, please end this topic starting now.
As one wheel follows another, you look at the tyre marks in the ground and you say to yourself, we have covered a lot of this planet.
Laura.
I think he's repeated tyre.
Yeah.
It was tyre and tyres. There was a couple of tyres before.
Oh,
I know, mate. All I want to do is just see the end of this.
It would be quicker without these constant interruptions.
Right, 6 seconds.
Okay.
Here you go, starts now.
Undoubtedly, the best tandem bike you can buy is to go to a shop at the end of this road and it's called Tandem Bikes R Us.
Paul, speaking as the whistle went, ended that subject. Now, Laura, I love this one. You can have it back at the end. That's your subject. You can have it back at the end. It's a great subject. It's all yours. You've got 60 seconds to do what you will with it. Just don't hesitate, deviate, or repeat. Time starts now.
You can have it back at the end is a well-worn phrase that I certainly used in my time as an English teacher in East London. And I used to confiscate all sorts during a lesson. Telephones, notes...
I was sort of on tenterhooks, but Julian, you buzzed?
Hesitation.
Yes, the gave it away. 45 seconds remaining. Subject's yours now. You can have it back at the end. I can't imagine where this will go. 45 seconds remaining, starting now.
Picture the scene. I was in a gentleman's club in Berlin. It was quite dark, but I could see that the man next to me had something in his hand. I said, would you mind if I held that? And he said, as long as I have it back at the end. And so I was true to my word. I made sure that it was returned to its rightful owner. A little limp by the end of my pleasures. But, you know, that is what happened, and I can't alter the truth. You can have it back at the end is actually the name of a sitcom from the 1970s starring Eutha Joyce. Do you remember her? Oh, she was marvellous. I am rambling now, but I'm determined to continue because you're not having...
Lovely. Right. Speaking as the whistle went, you get that point. Well done. Right. End of the second round. Again, it's all very tightly bunched. In joint third, Desiree and Paul. In second spot, Laura. And slightly out in front, we've got Julian in first position. Right. Round three is on us. And Paul, it's your subject. How I spent my bank holiday. How I spent my bank holiday. I'm interested in this. You've got a minute without hesitating, repeating or deviating, and that time starts now.
How I spent my bank holiday was tunnelling between my house and the bank on the other side of the road. I knew they had just received a shipment of gold bullion, which I was attempting to steal. So as I began my tunnel, step by...
Jim.
Hesitation.
It was a little bit, a tiny bit of hesitation. It was a little
you were going to say repetition of tunnel, yes, but you realised I said that.
My thumb just went. Involuntary spasm, and there's nothing I could do about it.
No, well, you can't. It's involuntary.
No, I blame myself. You carry on, Paul. Doing ever so well.
God, I tell you, you guys are riding an emotional roller coaster today. Yeah. Something, isn't it, to watch? Yeah. Yes. Whew, sensational stuff. Right. That was the mildest of hesitations that normally would get overlooked. So, Paul, you keep the subject. 44 seconds, and your time starts now.
In the 1970s, whenever it was a sunny bank holiday, I would go back to where I used to live in Fulham and walk around Robert Owen House, which was a council block of flats, and try and remember those days when I was an eight-year-old without a care in the world. I don't know why I was so keen on revisiting those former areas. I suppose it was because the past is a fixed place and the future at that time seemed very uncertain indeed. I would always say to myself, if I go there when the weather is hot, I will always have the recollection.
Julian.
Always repeated.
Yes, it was a repetition of always. I was very moved by that.
Yeah, I
felt it was
as well.
Very Proustian. I like.
How's your thumb? Is it all right?
Times I've been
asked
that.
I know what causes that.
13 seconds on how I spent my bank holiday. Starting now.
Last bank holiday, I went round to Paul Merton's house because he needed some help with his back passage. But I was down on my hands and knees scrubbing, and by the time I left, it was like a new pin. Hardly the right way to spend a bank holiday.
You know, I've really got to understand you two a lot better.
Yeah.
been a real revelation. Right, next we're with you, Desiree, and your subject, very, very of the moment, biodiversity.
Mm-hmm.
Biodiversity, what can you tell us? Reducing this incredibly important topic. Just boil it down to 60 seconds or so, yeah. 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating. Any time starts now.
No one can dispute the importance of biodiversity to Mother Nature or any of her offspring. Biodiversity is extraordinarily necessary, even if you don't understand the relevance of a mosquito. It's not like it's a DEI hire. It's here because it is eaten by other things that depend on the biodiversity that builds this planet's food chain. Midges, fruit flies.
Oh, Julian.
Hesitation.
Oh, the slightest. I really liked it, and I feel whimsical today. I'm moved by an emotional sense rather than anything else. It was a sort of a correct challenge. Desiree is a more experienced player of the game, but I'm going to give you the point for a correct challenge, but I'd like Desiree to carry on the subject.
Okay.
Because I'm learning stuff. Like. Yeah. Do some more stuff about PlayStation as well. I like that.
30
seconds.
Oh, that's what it was about.
Yes!
I'm going to write that down.
You could get into it, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Right, 30 seconds starting now.
Biodiversity is just one of the forms of diversity that we must support on this planet. We should look at...
Laura.
Repetition of planet?
Yes, there was.
Oh, from
repetition. Yes. A couple of planets in there, which means you get the subject. 22 seconds remaining on biodiversity, and it starts now.
Biodiversity, I understand, is also involved with your gut and the biome of your guts, and you need to make sure...
Oh.
No, I was going to buzz for a repetition, but it wasn't, because she said gut and guts, so it was a wrong challenge.
Ooh.
It's amazing it surprised even you when it came out of your...
I buzzed before you got to the S, which was a mistake on my part.
Trigger happy.
Yes.
I'm going to sneeze.
That's you.
Repetition of sneeze. Yeah.
I enjoy that. Because I enjoyed it, my allergies are giving you a point. Right, OK, where were we? Incorrect challenge by Paul. On gut and guts, 15 seconds, biodiversity, bring it on. By which I mean time starts now.
My sister-in-law is a doctor, and for Christmas she got us all the very thoughtful gift of a little pot that we could all poo in so we could have the biodiversity of our gut analysed.
Oh! Paul!
My psychic challenge has come home to me. It was a repetition of gut, sadly.
It was a repetition of gut, and definitely done with 4 seconds remaining.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so... biodiversity, Paul, in 4 seconds. And your time starts now.
Whenever I hear the word biodiversity, I say to myself, it's very important to realise that...
And Paul was speaking as the whistle went, which means he gains the point. Right, Laura, we're back with you. A slip of the tongue. What can you tell us about a slip of the tongue in 60 seconds, starting now?
A slip of the tongue is often referred to a Freudian sort of slip, and the favourite one I've ever heard of is a friend of mine described going to her son's wedding but accidentally called it a funeral. And this is where you can really go wrong. And occasionally I've referred to my husband as my brother, which really freaks me out.
Desiree, you buzzed.
I think you said referred twice.
It's a repetition of referred.
It was just a slip of the tongue.
It was. You were very on topic, if I may say.
Yeah. But showing and telling.
It's a correct challenge. Desiree gets the point. She gets the subject with 39 seconds remaining. Your time starts now.
A slip of the tongue was what caused me to acquire my first mobile. I was using a payphone in New York City in 2003, and a slip of the tongue occurred onto the receiver, and I thought, disgusting! I have all of this place's juices inside of my mouth now! Must fix with Nokia barf! Phone. So I immediately went into a shop and purchased a red little blingy that I called my pet dearest Kevin, because everyone should name their personal belongings so that when they go...
You...
And now everyone thinks I name my phones.
No, now we think you name everything because you said all your personal belongings.
All of them,
yes. What's that water bottle called?
Oh, it's Kevin. Did I say Kevin before? Is that
you
a repetition
Kevin.
Of Kevin?
Yeah.
Everything is Kevin. I live in an alternate universe.
I like him. Everything is Kevin. Right, I've just been handed a piece of Kevin, which tells me this is the final round. Thanks for that entirely elicited response. final round it is. And we're going to round things off with you, Julian. Looking the part, what can you tell us about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
It's very important to look the part. I know when I was in the army, the sergeant major insisted that all my buttons were buffed and my shoes shone and would inspect me from top to bottom. And if there was a crease anywhere where there shouldn't be one, well, I was carpeted. Oh, me and Nobby got into such trouble if we didn't look the part. Also, in theatrical circles, when I moved on to after my time in service, I think it helps your performance if you are wearing the right wig and the right clothes.
Paul.
Well, sadly, a repetition of right.
Was the repetition of right.
But which regiment was this you were in?
I'm afraid I had to sign an NDA.
So, a correct challenge, repetition of right, means 24 seconds are all yours on looking the part, Paul, starting now.
When I played Widow Twanky at Wimbledon Theatre a few years back, it was very important to look the part. The wig had to be so, perhaps purple, that was always a good choice, and the clothes, particularly the dresses, were voluminous and rather silly-looking. The shoes they gave me, unfortunately, were very uncomfortable, but I didn't care because I had to look the part. And when you see the children looking up at you with bemusement in their eyes as you make various jokes which they don't understand, and their parents are laughing.
Well, then Paul spoke as the whistle went and took the show home. Right, time for the all-important scores. Oh, it's a tight one. Very, very close today. In fourth position, Desiree. In third, Laura. In second place, Paul. And today's winner, Mr. Julian Clary. And there, my lovelies, we have to leave you. But first of all, before we do so, a big thank you to all our incredible players of tonight's game. Paul Merton, Desiree Birch, Laura Smith and Julian Clary. We are indebted to Ian Messiter and, of course, our beloved Nicholas Parsons. We also thank the real star of the show, Sarah Nichols, to my left, blowing her whistle so delicately. The producer was Rajiv Kari, and it was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks for listening. And please do join us all again when we next play Just a Minute.